Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that's mellow and that always champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am a very subdued Walter Duralia, and I'm wondering why.
Do you know what that theme song was from? That was from a early 80s, perhaps late 70s TV show, live action. I think it lasted for one, possibly two seasons.
I haven't got a clue.
Greatest American Hero.
Whoa. Do you remember that? Right. Yeah. I never watched it, but I remember it was like a superhero TV show.
Oddly enough, it was kind of a weird take on a Green Lantern kind of theme. Like, aliens come down and they leave a special suit, but they forget to leave the guy the instructions.
Oh!
Right?
So, I hate when that happens.
So it's all about him with William Catt was the guy's
William
name.
Catt.
William Catt.
Right. He's a cool cat.
But and I'm Chris Owen, by the way.
Oh, yes,
from,
you are.
From Mohonk College.
Right.
And we're here to talk to you about comic books. And
we are.
All types of things that are related to comic books and comic culture. And, well, you know what? That's even the name of the show.
Yes, comic culture. You know what? We pretty well guarantee that at the end of this hour, you're going to be one of two things. Really ticked off that you wasted an hour of your life. Or you're going to say, man, I learned a lot.
Man, I learned a lot.
Right. So every week we have Chris go over some new this week. These are comics that are hitting your local comic book shop today. So we encourage everybody to support their local comic book shop. Head in and check out the new this week. And this week's new this week is brought to you by Metaha Club Soda.
Metaha.
It's the club soda of Greece.
Oh, interesting.
Chris, I can pretty well guarantee that Homer, Hercules, all those cats were drinking Metaha Club Soda way back when.
Oh, I bet they were. Right. I bet they were. I like Metaha Club Soda.
Oh, Metaha Club Soda's got a nice little caramelly finish to it.
It's kind of hard to say, actually.
It does.
Yeah.
But it gets easier with the more club soda that you
it really does,
that,
doesn't
that
it?
You sip.
All right. Well, listen, every week we like to take a smattering of new books off the new This Week stands.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to start this week with Justice League Odyssey. Justice League Odyssey.
Like Homer's Odyssey.
Like Homer's The Odyssey minus Homer. And we're not talking about Homer Simpson. Of course, you're talking about, what's that guy's name?
The Greek writer, yeah. Poet, whatever.
Yeah.
Homer.
Homer. Homer. The Iliad.
Yeah. Homer!
Homer.
I used to go to my kids' hockey games, and that's what they would call... So we're a visiting team.
Right.
And then the ref would make a bad call.
Yeah.
And then you'd hear the visiting parents go, Homer!
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, I think of more creative things to call the guy than Homer.
I would too. But, you know, this is a family-friendly show.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, listen, we have Justice League Odyssey.
Right, you said that already.
I thought maybe you were kept on talking. I thought maybe people forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So Justice League Odyssey, and this is number 5, written by Joshua Williamson with art by Carmen Di Giandomenico. I'm probably saying that wrong. Anyways, this is like an epic kind of storyline here. It's got what's his name?
Art Balthazar.
Darkseid and Starfire and Cyclops. Or not Cyclops. What's his name?
Cyclone.
Cyborg.
Cyborg.
And it's got like Mother Box type people, type things, rather. Uh-huh. And, all kinds of cool stuff. Anyways, that's it's a good-looking book.
You know, I like that book. It is a good-looking book. It's called Justice League Odyssey. It's number 5, and it's at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next up. This is one of my favorite comics going on right now,
uh-huh.
And that's Heroes in Crisis.
You were mentioning that
Heroes
a couple issues ago.
In Crisis.
Right.
This is up to number 5 now of 9. I'm not going to talk too much about it because it's I don't want to say anything, really, because there's just too much going on in each issue, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Mm-hmm. It did just come out. One of the things I really am enjoying about these covers, though, is they've taken an event where a character has died or maybe been severely hurt from DC Comics mythos,
right,
and sort of recreated it as if it's sort of like a snapshot and like a file picture.
Ah.
And so now in this one, I do love this one. This isn't giving anything away. We have this is meant to be the death of Robin by Joker when Joker killed him with a crowbar.
Right. That was
remember the Death in the Family?
Batman 428.
Yes, exactly.
Believe it or not.
Yes.
So. Believe it or not.
I'm walking. Well,
I just killed Robin.
Well, just remember the book. I'm more impressed about that.
Hey, Heroes in Crisis for the Tone Deaf. Number 5 is at your local comic book shop.
All right, and now this has got to be interesting to you, Walt. Uh-huh. This is going
to
be.
It's everything's interesting to me, Chris.
I know because
I'm one of these guys that it's all new to me.
It's all new to you. The good thing, as long as it's not all nude to you, and that'd be a completely different weird-looking thing.
Well, that's even... Never mind.
Anyways, so Marvel recently, they're celebrating their 80th year in comic book
dumb. Sure are. They sure are.
And
1939. Do you remember the very first Marvel comic book, Chris?
Marvel Comics number 1.
Look at you.
Yeah, with Human Torch. The original Human Torch, the what's his name? Not Hector.
Human
Hammond.
Torch.
Hammond. Rod Hammond. No.
He created the Hammond organ. Hammond.
Anyways, so he was a robot. Though. It was a different type.
That's right. Yes, I remember. Type
of, Human Torch. This is. What Marvel has been doing is they've been taking some of their more classic titles and recreating and redoing some of their titles. So this one is Journey into Unknown Worlds, number 1. And
I don't like it.
What do you mean you don't like it?
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it? What's not to like?
I don't know.
It's an homage.
Well, Unknown Worlds is from the Atlas era.
Okay, but that's still part of that era. Like, still part of...
Journey into Unknown Worlds, number 1. So what's this? I don't know, Chris. I don't know.
All they're doing is they're trying to recreate a storyline like you would have seen in Journey into Unknown Worlds.
Right, I guess. Well, hey, listen. They're going up to the plate. Mm-hmm. They're taking a nice swing.
Yeah.
And let's see what becomes of it. I'm not going to poo-poo it yet because I haven't read it. So right. It might be really well. Might be really good. But Journey into Unknown Worlds, number 1, it's got that homage to the Atlas horror stuff, and it's at your local comic book shop today.
All right, and also by Marvel, we have, I love this cover, this is a great cover.
Uh-huh.
This is by Ryan Ottley, who did a lot of books, he did the whole Invincible series by Image, and this is Amazing Spider-Man, number 14. And it's got this amazing cover, as I said, by Ryan Ottley. The insides are by Chris Bacalo. But it's basically, we've got the rhino attacking. And on the inside, you've got the lizard, and you got the rhino, and you got all kinds of cool characters in here. This is just a throwback to comic books that I used to like to read when I was younger, and I love that book.
Right on. Great, fantastic-looking book.
Yeah.
Got the rhino coming in hard. Legacy
good,
number
good looking book.
Hey, legacy number 815 for the Amazing Spider-Man. This continues to be the flag bearer title of comic books, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
I mean, obviously Batman as well. Number 14 at your local comic book shop. Definitely check that out.
All right, and finally, by this is a strange one to me because it's actually a character that's kind of popped around by different companies.
Uh-huh.
Now it's by Dynamite.
Dynamite.
Dynamite, and it's Peter Cannon Thunderbolt.
Peter Cannon.
Do you remember that? Like,
of course I do. That was a Charlton book, wasn't
Charlton
it?
Charlton book, but then uh-huh. DC. So
right.
I don't understand how it's no longer because I thought DC had all the Charlton characters, but clearly I'm wrong about this one.
Mm-hmm.
I've been known to be wrong before, and I'll be wrong again at some point, I'm sure. Peter Cannon Thunderbolt number 1.
Oh, that is a interesting cover. Very dramatic. It's from Dynamite, Peter Cannon number 1. Check that out at your local comic book shop. And hey, Chris has just gone over a few, but trust me, please trust me, there are so many more at your local comic book shop. So what you need to do is walk in to your local comic book shop and check out the new this week.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude here. Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about stuff that's going on in the comic book industry. Here's some of that old Krantz Spider-Man music.
Thank you.
Mmm, that is sweet stuff, Chris.
Did you like that?
Oh, I love it.
I'm trying to go with the whole moody, relaxing kind of...
I know.
Yeah.
I know. If I fall asleep, just wake me up.
Okay.
Chris, it takes us into industry news, and industry news is brought to us by Stella Artois Tall Boy Club Soda.
Tall Boy Club Soda.
It's specifically, specially designed in the tall cans where the bubbly and the fizz
yes.
has higher to climb.
So it tastes better.
Tastes better. Yeah, absolutely yeah. right.
It's a little more worn out.
That's aged. Right. That's right. Never mind. Chris, let's talk about industry news. I don't even know what we're going to start talking about today because we have a few topics that we wanted
we
to
do,
touch
we do.
On, as they say.
Well, you know what? Let's. In the news why don't we start with Ms. Marvel and Spider-Man joining forces in Marvel Team-Up?
Okay, so Marvel's relaunching the Marvel Team-Up comic.
Okay, so okay. First of all...
Why? Because...
Well, okay...
Okay, hold on.
Okay,
hold on.
Go ahead.
Let's go back to the original Marvel Team-Up, which yep. I honestly think is probably the most underrated Marvel title of the Bronze Age, by 100%.
Really? By 100%?
Underrated. Well, I don't know if there's a more underrated Marvel title, is
okay.
my point.
Okay, all right.
Because within the title itself,
yeah.
it's a treasure trove for collectors, absolute treasure trove for collectors, because even within the title itself, the 150 issues plus, I think, 7 annuals,
okay.
There are sub-genres that you can, sub-strains you can collect. You know what I mean? There are, obviously, the whole completist you can collect. The great part about it is, honestly, once you get past number one, you're smooth sailing on, you know, in terms of finances,
okay.
in terms of collecting it.
Yeah.
But what I thought it was really, really good at doing was, you know, when Marvel developed a new character.
Right.
Because Spidey was like, you know, the face of Marvel.
Yes.
It still is.
Yes, it really
still
is.
Still
is. Yeah,
so
really
nothing's
is.
Changed
no,
in that sense.
No.
When Marvel was introducing new characters,
yeah.
They teamed him up with Spidey in Marvel Team-Up
right.
for that A-list exposure.
Right.
You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I don't know, Black Panther, Black Panther was way, way before, but,
yep.
You know, whatever characters they were developing, you know, Brother Voodoo or what do you call it, they even did flipping, you know, Captain Britain when they
Dr. Druid.
Yeah,
or...
they Captain Britain
yeah,
when they did,
yeah.
they even did things like... not ready for primetime players.
Yeah,
they did, They did all kind, whatever they were kind of trying to Moon Knight. You know,
sure,
whatever
sure.
they were trying to introduce. They go, hey, you know, people are going to love this character. Let's launch
Shauna.
His own book, right? Let's launch the title. But hey, let's put the character into Team Up and get them that exposure to Spidey fans because, you know, that's Spidey is well read. And
right.
So I'm hoping. So what I'm disappointed a little bit in here is that they team Spidey up with Captain Marvel.
Right.
Which is, you know, a very, 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 Ms. Marvel, a very realized character.
Right. Well, it would be Captain Marvel now, unless you're talking about the new...
No, Ms. Marvel. It's Ms. Marvel.
Oh, sorry.
Captain Marvel.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Kamala Khan's huge. Spider-Man's
yep.
huge. So maybe to set up the first one?
Sure, why not?
Maybe you
yep.
do that.
Yep.
But I'm hoping that they use the title... to highlight some newer characters that
but I hope that it's going to be done in a way that it really does highlight new characters as
well. That's
well.
What I'm saying, yeah.
And not just like, you know, here comes another issue where I don't know, Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel fight, I don't know, Galactus or
right.
whatever.
Or in the next issue, Spider-Man and Captain America.
Right.
And then in the next issue, it's Spider-Man and Iron Man.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
No.
You know?
No.
I want, they're developing a new character,
yeah.
Spider-Man and that new character.
Sure, why not?
I think that title would work well. I don't want to say homage, but... In a way, homage. I don't even want to say homage. I just kind of take the premise that worked and try to work it again.
Yep.
You know, update it obviously to today's day and age or sensibilities, realities of today or whatever. But use the same fundamental concept of what this book is,
right,
which is using Spider-Man as a prop or as a help introduce new characters.
To jumping off point.
Yeah, or a jump start, I guess, would be a jump start to new properties that Marvel
wants. Well, let me ask you something. Like, why can't they just start a book on its own?
Like, because nobody will buy it.
Do you have to introduce a new character in an existing book, or can you just,
do?
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't just all of a sudden publish, I don't know,
Rainbow Man or Polka Dot Man number one.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or probably not.
Or Big Head Man or something. Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
and nobody's gonna buy it.
Nobody's gonna buy it.
So what you're saying is, you know, this would be a good series for any kind of new character.
That's right.
Okay. Well, all right. Yeah.
So
why can't you just have that same new character be put into an Amazing Spider-Man comic? Or why can't you have
Well, because the Amazing, you can, and Spidey was used for that heavily as well. If you remember, 123, Luke Cage was very prominent a few issues after Luke Cage number one. That was, to give him a head start. You can definitely use that in Amazing Spider-Man as well. But usually now, you can. Definitely can.
All right.
But this vehicle is specifically designed, or could be specifically designed, to showcase new talent.
Okay, fair enough. All right. You convinced me.
All right. Good.
All right.
So when's that coming out? I think it's coming out soon.
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon. It says here soon.
Says here very soon.
All right. Next up, hey, I want to talk about this. You're a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan.
I sure am.
Yeah. You have his autograph, don't you, somewhere? Or
no, no, that was Ferrigno.
Oh, you have Lou Ferrigno.
Big Lou. Autograph.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, interestingly.
But Lou has spaghetti arms compared to Arnold. No, Arnold has spaghetti arms compared to Lou. What am I talking about?
Looking good, Lou.
Uh-huh.
Marvel now has Conan the Barbarian again.
Mm-hmm.
Number one came and went, apparently.
Yes.
Sold very well.
Yes.
Now, some of them had, like, sketch covers and different weird kind of covers. But one of the covers was that a retailer incentive was actually had the photo cover of Arnold Schwarzenegger as Conan.
Conan, right. From his Conan 2. When he was a little leaner.
Okay, right.
It was like a picture from Conan 2.
Right.
Which isn't my favorite Conan. I like the first Conan.
Right.
Where Arnold was thicker and heavier.
But you can now buy, though, this is Conan number one.
Yep.
And some of these were kept back by Comic Sketch Art.
Right.
Now, you can buy a raw, unsigned copy for $30.
Right. These are store incentives or
exclusives.
Exclusives, that's right.
So basically, an exclusive is that company, that store, whatever that company, buys the ability to be able to reproduce an X number of copies.
Right. So they obviously had to approach the Austrian Oak.
Right.
And ask him, hey, Arnold, if we give you this much dollars, can we use your likeness and have you sign some books and we'll try to sell them through the thing? You know what I mean? And Arnold says, yeah.
But he might not even, I guess they're using his likeness for one.
Right. Yeah.
But then you can now also buy a signed copy.
That's right.
Or you can buy a signed copy that is already
Already signature graded. Series. Yeah, graded, already yeah. graded and it's slabbed a signature series thing. So
if you want a raw unsigned copy, you can get one for $30.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get a raw signed copy, it's $300.
Which doesn't make sense.
No.
Right?
Well, the price...
Because in today's day and age, though, the whole idea of a signed copy, Chris, is that the signature holds value.
Right.
And that it'll only hold value on the secondary market.
Right.
right? Once you buy it from this company, it's now in the domain of the secondary market.
Correct.
Now, if you resell it, whether it's next day or 3 years from now, it is a secondary market item.
Right.
And but then you need proof of signature.
It probably comes with some sort of certificate. I'm just saying it does.
But whatever.
Let's say you're not a comic fan, but you're an Arnold fan.
Right.
And you don't really care.
So why not buy one and then forge Arnold's signature and print off 100 of the cards?
Okay, but then what are you going to do with that one? You're only going to have one.
Well, no, you buy one so you can practice Arnold's signature.
Right. Oh, I see. Right. But you still
need... So then you know how to... So what you got to do is you got to, for 2 weeks, just do curls and tricep dips and just so you get those muscles, because that's how Arnold signs, right?
Okay,
so,
right. All right.
And then you forge Arnold's signature.
Okay.
And then you make up those cards. This is authentic.
I'm actually interested in this. I think this is a great idea.
My point is, spend the extra $125.
I agree.
And buy the encapsulated signature series Arnold.
Hey, if I buy one, will you buy it off me?
For half the value, of course.
Half the value? No wonder you're a successful comic book guy.
That's right.
I see how this goes around.
I've got
here.
The formula down. What'd you pay? I'll give you half. I would love one of these too. The problem
I'll split one with you.
Okay.
I'll have it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Right. You can have it Friday, Saturday,
Sunday. I tell you
Sunday.
What, why don't we put it up in the store on the wall?
Okay.
And you can come visit it anytime you want.
I'll put it up on my wall in my man den. When you come to my Christmas party, you can gaze at it and wonder what a great book it is. I'll tell you what, I'll even take a selfie with you of it.
Nice.
And that way you can put that up on your wall in the store.
You know what? Why don't you and I...
We'll talk.
Negotiate.
We'll talk.
Yeah. I like it because I'm a big Arnold fan. And I don't know. I mean, it would be so cool if Arnold went to a con.
Well...
Just to support this book.
Here's the thing. This is an interesting case because here we're having, it's a long time Marvel property. It's the number one. I know it's not the number one, but it is a number one.
Yeah.
It's signature series.
Yeah.
It's signed by Arnold, who played the character in a big movie, went on to become a huge Hollywood success.
Well, never mind Hollywood success, just like a success.
Yeah.
You know, he was flipping the governor of California, for Christ's sake.
How many governor signatures do you want out there?
Hey, Governor Ronald Reagan would have been a cool signature.
Another actor, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Right. Anyways, my point is, it's an interesting mix of all the things that is blended into this one book. I'm going to say that this is a great book to invest in.
Look at you.
But you know what?
Chris Owen investing.
It's only my personal opinion, and do not take that for... Do not go out and spend all your money on this just because I said that.
Come hunting for Chris when you've lost your shirt.
When you're trying to eat one.
Hey, Chris, buy this off me, dirty...
I'll give you half.
Yeah,
I'll
give you half. Walt told me to say that. I like it. I like the fact that I think, you know what I would love, Chris? I would love, this is what I would love.
What would you love?
Ask me what I would love.
What would you love?
Oh, you already did that.
What would you love?
I don't even know who has the movie rights, but they should revisit Conan the movie.
Right.
And get it right, because they haven't got one right yet. Even the Arnold ones, the first one was okay for the first half.
Right.
And then, as I think I've mentioned before, then the second half turned into a buddy movie comedy.
First
half was all about hardcore lore, you know, Conan lore. I think they should revisit it, because I think Marvel Disney has figured out the way to make their movies.
Right.
True to their characters.
Sure.
And Conan, you got to make Conan a Robert E. Howard character.
Yes.
Okay? Which is hardcore to the core. Right?
Hardcore to the core.
Right. So these guys know how to make movies. And what better way than for Conan to make an appearance as, you know, Arnold to make an appearance as, you know, I don't know, somebody's father or Conan's father or some sort of king that, that Conan usurps or something like that. Well, I don't know. You know what I mean?
I thought for years they were talking about having a King Conan.
They were, but then Arnold went and flipping got elected, and I think that ruined everything.
See, but I still think he could do that. I still think he could, as an aged Conan.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe. Well, then what you'd need to do then, I think, for that movie to work is have Arnold play Conan with like flashback things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, so Arnold is Conan, but there's also the younger Conan.
And you know what? I hate to say it, but you could
say
I hate to say it, but you could now with screen capture motion capture, and the way they can make people younger again and all that kind of
CGI
stuff.
CGI and all that stuff. Well, I mean, all they need to do really is make Arnold like
younger.
In his 60s, early 60s. Yeah, they don't need to make Arnold like a 30-year-old muscle guy.
No.
You know, they can get another actor to play that. But, you know, they can make Arnold look like a robust, you know, 63-year-old man.
Right.
You know, which I think he's in his mid-70s now or whatever it is.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, they could make him just look a little bit younger for the part.
But I guess what I'm thinking is if they had like, you know, King Conan, and he's reminiscing and telling stories.
That's right.
You know, but he's telling stories of his younger self, and it is him still playing it as a younger 30-year-old.
Yeah, maybe. Right? That would be revolutionary in a sense that you know it's coming.
Yeah.
And that may be a good vehicle to do it in.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, we would have to kind of, not that we're not already suspending belief when we go to these movies,
right,
but you'd have to really suspend belief and buy into this new method of storytelling where you're actually altering the actor's appearance for the younger actor.
If they can do it for, they brought Grand Moff Tarkin back for one of those Star Wars movies, and he was already, and Peter Cushing was already dead.
Right. But the point is, you're talking about, you know, a few seconds on the screen, or maybe a total of a couple minutes.
This
would have to be a whole film with action scenes and you know.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. They can do it.
Yeah.
They can do it.
Well, I hope
Leave
they
it
can.
Up to them.
I hope they can. So, this is exciting. I like it.
Why don't we have a musical interlude?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about stuff that's happening in the, you know, that thing called the what's that called again? Comic book universe. All right, let's go with this one right here.
Yes, Chris, beautiful. I love that.
Do you like that one?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So, speaking of Hammond organs. hey, Chris, that brings us to industry news part deux. And it was brought to us by, again, Metaha Club Soda.
Metaha.
Hey, Chris, the Trojan War was not started when Paris stole
Helen.
It was when Paris took some Metaha Club Soda from the magazine. All hell broke loose
after
that.
I totally believe that.
So, anyway, Metaha Club Soda, a bubbly and from Greece.
All right,
Chris, which one do you want to talk about now?
Let's go with, you know what? I got a quiz for you.
Oh, look at you.
I got a quiz for you.
You got a quiz, do you?
I got a quiz. You know, we're talking about...
So this is the type of quiz where, like, you're going to ask me questions and I'm going to have to answer?
Yes, okay. That's usually the kind of quiz. That's usually
like
what
those.
A quiz is.
I like those quizzes.
You know...
Because usually I'm pretty smart in them,
well,
except when I'm not.
I'm going to... You know, this is going to be a good quiz for you.
Oh.
It's a good quiz for you because you basically have a 50-50 shot.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay.
Listen... As long as it's from like 1961 to 1975, I'm going to be really good.
Okay.
Everything after that, I'm
a lot of
I'm
these characters probably will be. Maybe
okay.
A little bit after that.
All right.
But so I went on to Screen Rant.
Screen Rant.
Screen Rant.
That's the website.
That's a website, and I was looking at some of their archives, and they had a column where talking about the most ridiculous named characters in comic books.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to name a character, and I want you to tell me if it's from Marvel or DC.
Whoa.
Okay?
Right on.
I think you're going to get this.
How many do you have?
15.
15.
It won't take long.
I am going to estimate that I'm going to get at least 5 right.
At least 5 right. I think you're going to get more than that.
Okay, go ahead.
I actually think you're going to get more than that. Okay. We're going to start at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Easy one for you here.
All right.
Squirrel Girl.
Mar-Vell.
Correct.
One for one, people.
One for one. Extreme.
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 Oh, that's
Extreme.
Marvel all the way.
Correctamundo.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I know you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
Remember, these are all actual names of characters.
Actual names of actual characters.
In comic books.
In actual comic books.
Lady Cop.
Lady Cop was DC.
And I know you're going to know the answer to this, so what was the first issue that Lady Cop was in?
The famous first editions, or number
first,
4?
First issue special, or whatever
it's called.
Yeah, number four.
Excellent book.
Okay. Matter Eater Lad.
DC.
Correct. Now, bonus question. Do you know the name of the group that he was in?
League of Extraordinary... No, League of Justice... No, what do you call those guys? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Those guys out in outer space. Don't tell me.
I won't.
Adventure Comics number 247 introduced the League of the Superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Adventure Comics 247. Why am I having a brain fart?
I don't know.
You know, and the price guy don't say 12th appearance of the Legion. Legion of Legion Superheroes.
Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Bird Brain.
Bird Brain.
Bird Brain.
Been called that a few times. That's for sure.
Marvel or DC?
That one, you see, I don't know. So I'm going to go Marvel.
Good guess. Mm-hmm. Very good guess. He was a character in the X-Men type storyline type thing going on.
Yeah, I didn't. I have no idea who that character
is. Okay, I think you're going to do very well in this quiz here.
What are you talking about? I'm already 9 for 9.
You've already fully. I'm saying you're going to. You're 5 for 5.
Oh, 5 for 5. I can't count, but I'm doing really well.
You know your name. Man, you know comics, but man.
I hope
you have an accountant.
Uh-huh, I know.
3D Man.
3D Man. Oh, I know this. I know this. I know this. I know this. Marvel.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, there's only one. This is the one character I'm going to. I'm not going to try to stump you here.
Uh huh.
It's neither Marvel nor DC.
Oh, you dog.
I know.
Uh huh. What do I have to guess? The publisher?
Yeah.
Oh, you dog.
Skate Man.
Skate Man.
Skate Man.
Aardvark Vanaheim.
No.
Hold on. Charlton.
No. No. I don't think you're going to guess it.
I don't know.
It's when Neil Adams had his company.
Oh, right.
Continuity.
Continuity. Whatever.
Okay.
Hey, Walt, I'm going to ask you 15 questions, and you got to pick whether it's Marvel or DC. All right, Chris. I can do that. I'm pretty good
at guessing. At least I told you.
Oh, hey, Walt, by the way, screw all that.
At least I told you it was neither one. You could have guessed. I could have left you hanging.
All right.
All right. Color Kid. The Color Kid.
The Color Kid.
Yep.
Well, all the kids I know were Marvel. Two-Gun Kid, Kid Cold Outlaw. No, Karate Kid was DC. Whoa. What's his name again?
Color Kid.
Color Kid. Is the color spelt with a K or a C?
A C.
Yeah? Is it a U or just a C-O-L-O-R?
Yeah, it's not Canadian, so it's just L-O-R.
All right. DC.
DC is correct, and by your favorite, he's in one of your favorite groups, the one you've already mentioned, which was?
The Legion of Extraordinary Heroes.
Sure, that's the one, yeah. Okay, Doorman.
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 Yep. Not Dormammu.
Dormammu.
But Doorman.
Doorman.
Correct.
So, he's like a bouncer.
You'd think that.
Yeah.
He's actually an actual door.
He's actually a door.
Yeah.
That's got to be DC.
It's Marvel.
Oh, my first one wrong.
I know.
Oh, big, my God.
Big X on that one.
What am I doing? Okay. I suck.
No, you're doing good. You're doing good. Okay.
Well, I got one wrong in that stupid thing to you.
You got one and a half wrong.
All right.
Maggot.
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 Maggot. DC.
Marvel.
Oh, Marvel, I'm just falling apart. From, you see? Okay, keep going.
From the he's from the X-Men line. I'm pretty sure his power was they had maggots on him.
Being maggots.
Okay, here's one. Here's the only there's a couple that might stump you. They're getting harder.
What do you mean? I just got stumped twice in a row.
Well, you know, maybe we should just end it here and end it on the fact that you got, what's this, seven out of eight or something? Okay. The Gay Ghost.
The Gay Ghost.
Gay Ghost.
The Gay Ghost. DC.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Now.
You know how I got that?
How'd you get that one?
Well, I assumed Marvel was 1961. I'm assuming.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm assuming you didn't go to Timely.
Okay.
And I'm assuming the use of the word gay.
Right.
Post 60s.
Right.
Was in a different connotation than the pre-60s gay.
Right.
So I go, well, they wouldn't use the Gay Ghost in a late 60s, early 70s character.
No.
So they would use it in a 40s, 50s character.
Right.
Right. So that, I did my deduction in human cultural evolution.
Interesting. You're just a specimen of sociology.
Something like that.
Yeah. So now, bonus marks for that one. Oh,
for Christ's sakes. I just pulled one out of hat.
Out of your, so what comic did the Gay Ghost first appear in?
Was that right?
Yes.
You're going to pull that one.
Yeah, I'm going to. That's all right.
How am I supposed to know that?
That's why I work around here. Well, you should know it because another major character appeared in this comic book along, not along with the Gay Ghost, but in the same book as the Gay Ghost.
Oh, well, that narrows it down to what? Like 300 comics where another major character appears in?
There's not 300 major characters in 200? The DC universe in the 40s.
Okay. Okay. If you want to be an ass like that. All American 16.
No.
Action 1.
No.
Detective 27.
No.
All Star 8.
Close.
All Star 73. All Star 3.
Sensation Comics number 1.
Right. So you even the information you gave me was wrong because you said first appearance. You led me down the wrong path. You disappointed me. Sensation is not her first appearance.
I didn't say. Did I say first
appearance? Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
You baited and hooked me.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay, here.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Here's a better one for you.
You know, all things considered.
Fruit Boy.
Mm.
Fruit Boy.
Fruit Boy.
Yep.
Fruit Boy is a good buddy of the Gay Ghost. That I can surmise. So he has to be Marvel.
Nope.
DC.
Correct.
That's what I meant because he's a good buddy of the Gay Ghost.
Well, that's where I thought you were going with that. Yeah. I'll give it to you.
No,
you're
not. No, just give me DC.
Right. And he's also from which of your favorite superhero groups?
Legion of Extraordinary Heroes.
Sure, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
That's just nasty.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Negasonic.
Negasonic.
Teenage Warhead.
Correct.
Marvel.
Correct.
Nice.
Very good.
You know, remember, Chris, in school?
Okay.
When you had the multiple choice.
Yeah.
And you didn't have a flipping clue.
Yeah.
And then you look back at the last five answers and you go, well, there wasn't a C. So I'm going to pick C. That's what I did there. I go, the last two are DCs. Nice. I'm just going to go Marvel because I don't have a clue.
All right.
See how that was another sociological.
Sociological.
I don't know what I'm talking
about. Sure, it's good. Go ahead. Arm Fall Off Boy.
Oh, that is the Legion of Extraordinary Guys.
You are correct.
DC.
You are correct. And finally, Looker.
Wow.
Looker.
Looker.
That gal's, as they used to say in the day, that gal's a real looker. That
gal's a looker. Looker. Marvel!
No.
Oh, you dog. No. You dog.
DC. I was doing so good. I even pre-gave you the check mark. I know. I have to make it a big X.
I know.
So.
How many wrong did I get? Not counting that doofus move that you pulled on.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4... you got four wrong, plus that, you know, the skate man.
So I was 4 out of 14.
4 out of 14.
10 out of 14.
We'll say 10 out of 14, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of my Marvel and DC picking. So
10 out of 14, what's that?
That's 5 out of 7. That's like, not 5 out of 7. That's like 80%. No, 70-something%.
Oh. Yeah. Good.
Well, 7 goes into 5 7 times. 71%, something like that.
Well, I said 68. I wasn't that far off.
You were.
You're 3%.
Well, that's a C plus versus a B minus.
That's a very good point.
Yeah,
very
thank
good point.
You.
All right. Well, you did very well.
Thank you.
Did very well. Better than I thought you did, but you know what? I think you should take that list and just put it up in your
and burn it.
all right.
Good move, Chris. Nice. I did okay.
Did okay.
But I was a little disappointed.
Hey, I think we need to invite our listeners into if they know of other unfortunate names of characters, uh-huh. They need to put them into our on when they listen to the podcast, they can go to comicbookdaily.com and scroll down to the comments section and insert into there what they think are the most unfortunate names in comics.
That's right. I like that.
Okay.
Chris, let's keep talking before we go into our last musical interlude.
All right.
I didn't know, but there is a new Dune movie coming up.
There is a new Dune movie, yes.
So speaking of unfortunate.
Yes.
So, what was it, Ron L. Hubbard or something, Hubert? No, Hubert.
Frank
something.
Herbert.
Herbert, whatever. Some
well, L. Ron Hubbard's the Dianetics
guy. Is the other guy, yeah. Frank Herbert. He wrote some of the greatest sci-fi books, ever published in terms of fan base and what they liked.
Absolutely.
And I think I read all of them.
Did you read all the Dune books?
I think I read like the first four or five.
Like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think I read all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Then they started getting written by
other people.
His son.
Yeah.
Or somebody else.
So, I've easily read the first three. I think I probably even went into the other people writing. I mean, the first one was the best one.
Sure, as it usually is.
Yeah. But never in the history of book to movie has there been such a disappointing transition than that ghastly movie, Dune, that came out in 1990, whatever the heck it was.
Now, I know you approached this subject without knowing that I'm actually a fan of the movie.
However, Chris,
okay, hold on, time out. Beep, beep, boop, beep. Bop. So the original movie that came out,
you were like 3 when you saw it, right? And you thought it was great.
No.
Okay,
I was a little older than that, but not much. The original movie that came out was actually directed by David Lynch.
Yes.
When it came out, he was so unhappy with it.
Uh-huh.
He took his name off of it.
That's
and
right.
Said it was directed by Alan Smithy. And Alan Smithy became this name that you would then use if you didn't want your name associated with movies.
And he had every right to disassociate yourself with that movie. That was how bad it was.
Absolutely. However, years later...
Uh-huh.
They re-released the movie again on TV.
Yes.
The original movie, I'd say, was like 2.5 hours long or something like that.
Uh-huh.
They re-released it on TV with added footage and with more...
More torture, basically. More...
Stick
needles in my eyes scenes.
No, they got rid of some scenes and they redid it. And I love it. I think it's a great movie. It's interesting. It's like 4 hours long. It's a really good. I think it's a really good movie, but it's hard to sit through because it's so long. Now, having said that, it's not for everybody.
Right.
I do like it. Uh-huh. But as I said, they tinkered with it. They added stuff to it. They added more storyline, especially.
All right, you know what? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I saw the theatrical release version. I thought it was absolutely crap.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I thought it was crap. Terrible. I thought, but not only was it crap in terms of the movie, it was in crap in terms of like the weight. You know, the weight of the characters, you know, just the way the movie was, the storytelling. Yeah. I don't know.
So, oddly enough, that particular version of Dune was not the first version that was supposed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not.
Did you
probably know the name Alexandro Jodorowsky.
Of course I do.
So, Jodorowsky.
I used to play hockey with my kid.
Jodorowsky was does a lot of the. He wrote that graphic novel with Mobius called The Inkle. Okay,
I remember that. So yeah, Inkle. Yeah.
Jodorowsky was also a director.
Mm-hmm.
So Jodorowsky at one point was signed on to work on Dune.
Dune.
So yeah. he had done all these crazy movies, and somebody said, "What movie do you want to do next?" He said, "I've heard of this Dune book. I'd like to do Dune."
Right.
He was going to get there's actually a documentary about this movie that has never been made.
Probably better than the movie.
The documentary is awesome.
Right.
It has scenes of concepts that he was going to have. So H.R. Giger, who developed the Alien from the Alien series.
That's right. And the Giger counter, if you know.
I don't know if he was involved in the Giger counter.
Pretty sure he was.
He did all these set designs and paintings, and they were going to have Salvador Dali play the Emperor of the Known Universe.
Crap already.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I can't act. Salvador Dali was a caricature of himself. Okay. That wouldn't have been good. Max von Sydow should have been.
He was already in that, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was or not.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah, no, he was in it.
Was?
Yeah. But Max von Sydow was also in Strange Brew. So, you know, you're going to give him that much credit.
Fair.
You know.
Fair. Okay.
You hoser.
You hoser.
Anyways, great, great documentary.
Uh-huh.
Now, they're redoing Dune.
Right.
And with Dune.
So, they're going to get it right.
They're going to get it right. And they have got the right guy to do it. They've got Denis Villeneuve. And Denis Villeneuve did the Blade Runner 2049. I believe that's the name of it.
Did you like Blade Runner 2049, though?
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. I thought it was okay. Like structurally, the movie was good.
Yes.
Visually. Soundtrack, it was stunning. Visually, it was stunning. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. There was something missing. I don't know what, because I really liked it, but I didn't love it.
I don't know. And I think the problem that I have with it, I don't know if you can... I don't know if you can top the original Blade Runner, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, having said that, a lot of people hate the original Blade Runner.
I loved it.
I've gone back and I have rewatched it a couple times.
Yeah.
It is a little difficult to watch.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, fair.
Denis Villeneuve's version is a great masterpiece in visuals and audio, as you say.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they got the right guy to do it, is all I'm
right,
saying.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to tackle...
Because what Blade Runner 2049 was really hardcore in terms of the visual concepts and the cinematic concepts.
Yes, like
he tried to go deep into the... like no sugarcoating anything stuff, and I thought that the first Dune movie was Disneyfied, sugarcoated,
right.
And crap TV melodrama type stuff.
Yep.
Whereas you need like this kind of underground subversive,
it's
like whoa, heavy
and
approach to Dune.
And I totally agree, and I think this is the right guy to do it. So I'm hoping that he gets it right.
He ain't heavy.
He's my brother. But they've got great names already. I mean, they have Stellan Skarsgård and Dave Bautista.
Skarsgård is a great name, Chris.
It really is.
I say it a few times, Skarsgård. They lined up some great names for this. How about Mohiam? What a great name that is.
Where did you see Mohiam?
Reverend Mother Mohiam. Oh, no, that's the character.
Reverend Mother Mohayam.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that, but that's the character, but...
I know, I was just trying to I was, you know, I was trying to go with the comedy and taking it to the next step, but it really just fell flat.
It really did, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, looking forward to that. Now, on the same note as talking about movies, Universal's Dark Universe. Remember, so Marvel... You know, 10 years ago, Marvel does this amazing thing. They start this thing where they start interconnecting all these movies.
Right. Like they did with their comics in the 60s.
Right.
Crossovers.
Crossovers. Yeah. DC starts doing it with their movies.
Yeah.
Big flop.
Flop.
Can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Salisbury
flop.
For whatever reason, Universal Studios decides... Hey, we've got old characters, just like Marvel and DC got old
we
characters.
We got Werewolf, Frankenstein, Dracula.
Invisible Man, the Mummy.
Invisible Man, the Mummy. Whoa,
Why don't we have our own interconnected universe?
That's right. Yeah.
And,
great idea.
Great idea.
Uh-huh.
Poorly executed.
Executed, yeah.
So they had Universal's Dark Universe, which was supposed to bring all these different characters together, basically died with... what's his name?
The Mummy.
The Mummy. What's that guy's name?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
He's a good-looking kid, that
good-looking
Tom Cruise.
Good actor, but, you know, he couldn't quite cut the mustard on The Mummy.
Well, I saw The Mummy. It was okay.
Did you see the new one?
Yeah, it was okay. It was, like, visually fantastic, and it was kind of cool. But I don't know. Maybe it was because... okay. I think what you got to do with, if you're going to do the Universal thing where you have all five of those characters kind of in one, you got to allude heavier to the other four right away. It can't, you know, Marvel started, almost like Marvel started off accidentally. And they threw a few Easter bunnies in, and then everybody liked it. Then they expanded, and then it's kind of... And then as each movie came out, it progressively got more intertwined because they realized the success of doing it.
Right.
To the point now where everything is just uber intertwined, and we're just all goo-goo gaga over everything.
Yeah.
I don't think Universal had to experiment with a light... almost non-existent intertwining that happened with The Mummy, because they wanted to do this formula of intertwining everything, but they really never executed it with The Mummy in a certain... Like, there should have been an allusions to all the other characters.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So where everybody's like, oh, you know, there's a... Oh, that
for
scene.
For something
oh.
like that, you really need to have one overall storyteller.
Right away. And because the... The fan base is expecting the intertwined universe already, and they've been conditioned by the Marvel success. Is you go full bore into it. You even overdo the Marvel version, and they didn't do that at all.
No,
it was almost like a standalone movie.
Well, and I think they were kind of trying to play it safe the way that Marvel did the first time without realizing that they don't have to anymore.
Right. Well, these guys, you got a Mummy movie, then you got an Invisible Man movie, then you got a Dracula movie. Well, what the hell?
Yeah,
like, when are you going to start?
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
They should have started right away. They should have had allusions to, you know, Transylvania, and they should have had allusions to whatever. I don't know. But I don't know. It didn't work. I'm sad. Because I think this could have worked.
I agree. I think it could have, too.
Like we've been robbed of some great entertainment.
Oh, for sure.
Of a parallel post alternative to the Marvel universe.
Right. Point. Oh, I totally agree. And was it Johnny Depp was supposed to be in part of this as well?
Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man, I think.
That would have been great.
But I'm glad he's not an Invisible Man. I don't like Johnny Depp.
What? Come on.
I don't know.
I realize that now he's sort of overrated,
right?
You know, especially after all of his pirate stuff.
He was Keith Richards in his pirate stuff. I'd rather put Keith Richards in there than Johnny Depp playing Keith Richards. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp, and I don't even know. I mean, I guess you need... I guess the way Universal was going about it is, hey, let's sign the biggest names in Hollywood to play these characters.
But the problem with this is, as well...
Whereas Marvel, but, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, those guys weren't big names.
No, they were not.
Right.
They were not. But, you know, but the other problem with this is... With those big names, they played the lead titles, right? So you had Robert Downey Jr. playing Iron Man in
But he
Iron
wasn't
Man.
Even big in 2008. Okay. Was Robert Downey Jr. big in 2008?
No, not at all.
Exactly.
No. But you had the... What am I... I'm trying to say that, you know, the person that was... Tom Cruise wasn't playing the mummy.
Right? No, I know that. Yeah, I know that.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, the main actors probably weren't going to be playing the main characters in each of those movies, right?
Good point. Excellent insight.
So how do you intertwine, you know, basically you need to have all the antagonists in those movies,
right?
As opposed to the protagonists,
yes,
right? So you need to have all the monsters.
I love it when you talk smart, Chris.
You have to have all those Very monsters exciting. Be interconnecting,
yeah.
as opposed to all the heroes.
I like it.
Right?
Yeah. No, so, I agree. And why is this dead? It says, you know, this lead story from, I think it was Bleeding Cool. You know, Universal's Dark Universe is dead. Why? Because whatever failed, the mummy?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, come on.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, if they had just given it, you know, another chance, why not make, I don't know, here I'm thinking about, like, the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
How do you intertwine the mummy, the creature from the Black Lagoon, you know, Frankenstein and Dracula all together in one movie or in one series? I don't see it happening.
That's what writers are for, Chris.
You know what, you're
right. That's what writers are for.
You know, and you know what I'm not?
What?
A writer.
Right on.
Yeah.
Chris, all right.
We basically run out of time.
No, we haven't.
Well, we can talk about one more thing quickly.
Well, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
We don't want to talk about that.
What was that about, movie dates?
Oh, no, we already talked about movie. No, we haven't talked about movie dates. I'm excited about Ghostbusters. So you were telling me.
Yeah.
You were telling me that, so there's a new Ghostbusters, the Reitman's Ghostbusters coming out, which will be the guys again.
Right.
Is Murray signed up for this?
So they're all signed up.
Oh, okay.
So they're all signed
What's
up.
His name too?
Jason Reitman is going to be doing Ghostbusters. Now, uh-huh. He is the son of Ivan Reitman.
Right.
Or Ivan Reitman, whatever you call
him.
Who did the original ones. And so basically, they've all signed up, as far as I can tell.
Uh-huh.
So Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, and Ernie Hudson.
Yep.
They're going to be in it. Unfortunately, of course, we don't have Harold Ramis anymore.
Right.
But the three of them will be in this new one. And it's basically, it's going to be a Ghostbusters.
Rick Moranis being it, probably?
They haven't said yet.
Okay.
We don't know.
All right.
But this is going to be Sigourney Weaver? I haven't heard.
Okay. But the point is, you were telling me there's some social media backlash.
Right. So basically, this is going to be number three. And basically what they're saying is, The Ghostbusters that came out, what is it, a year or two ago with Melissa McCarthy and Leslie Jones, they're basically saying this doesn't exist. They're saying that movie never happened because it's going straight to Ghostbusters 3, and it's kind of a slight towards that movie because they're not doing any more of them. That's the end of it.
Well, who says they're not doing any more?
Well, they're doing Ghostbusters 3 and they're not doing...
Okay. It doesn't make sense to me because Ghostbusters is a fantastic property.
Right.
Probably, I don't even know the numbers, but probably the one with McCarthy didn't do as well.
Money-wise.
Did okay.
Yeah.
So they got Bill Murray to agree. So they're smelling money.
Sure.
So they're revisiting the old first crew, the original crew.
Right.
Right. I don't think it has anything to do with the second crew. I think it's just an opportunity to make the old fans happy.
I think that's an optimistic way of looking at it. I don't think it's true.
No, you can't make a movie based on what you think is socially and morally right. That's the stupidest way to make a movie in the history of the world, Chris. You make a movie based on profits.
Okay.
I don't even know what to say here.
I don't know what you're talking about with socially and morally right. All I'm saying
You're almost implying that, you know, like...
That didn't do very well.
Yeah. Then you're almost implying, well, you know, they're not giving the girls a chance or something.
Well,
like
they're
that.
Not.
What do you mean they're not? They're just making another movie with Bill Murray in it.
According to Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones.
And Paul Feig.
Sour grapes.
Well,
hey, you had your chance. These other guys are making a movie, and they're probably going to make more money on it. Let the market decide whether they want a female team or a male team. Let the market decide.
I say have them all in it.
But let the market... Yeah. You have, like, three principles in the thing.
Yeah,
but... You can definitely have the female crew on the other side of town, and they cross over or whatever, anything like that. But my point is, you can't force a female... Ghostbusters crew down people's throats.
Right.
If it's great and people love it, fine. But if you actually make two,
yep,
and the market, people go, boys and girls, men and women, whatever,
yep,
flock to the guy version.
Yeah.
Whose fault is that? There's nobody's fault. Like, it's just, it's, it know, makes my know, head spin I know, sometimes. I know, I don't know what's going on, Chris. I do know one thing.
What's that?
We're out of time.
We are out of time.
All right. Comic, what's it called again?
Culture.
Comic Culture is produced, directed, engineered directed by Chris Owen.
Written
by both of us.
Sure.
We are on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station.
Because of us?
Because of us, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. Hey, I want to encourage everybody to go out and support their local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.